Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon all, and welcome to this fortnight's installment of the Ish Plus 6 podcast, the podcast series where you could discover your next favourite artist. On today's episode, I am joined by West London-based artist Denzino. Denzino truly is a man of many talents, working as a rapper, producer, guitarist, and engineer. It's clear that you most definitely cannot put him in any one box. With popular tracks such as We Can Go, Combos, and Re-Up, you will need to make sure you go check him out on all platforms. And please welcome Denzino to the podcast. Let's go. What's going on, man? How's it going?
Yes, sir. Ish, thanks for having me. It's your boy Denzino, a.k.a. Denzino Baby, a.k.a. Black Kwarang, a.k.a. Grown Up Ness, a.k.a. Everything and Nothing. Let's go.
Facts, man. Honestly, do you know, I've heard the Denzino Baby thing before. I've heard that as sort of like almost a beat tag in your tracks. But talk to me. What are these other ones that I've just heard just now?
Like Tekken. I'm the true Tekken Grandmaster. I'm the true Tekken God. You get me? I've been playing Tekken 8, the closed network test. There's no release date, but we're still playing Tekken. Well, there's a will, there's a way. Also, Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, you've mentioned that, fam.
too serious that that game. It's too much reality in that game. And I'm a very raw person. So, of course, the synchronicity is harmonious. You get me?
Who's your go-to in Super Smash Bros?
I use like everyone. I like Mario, I like Ness, I like Lucas, I like Mewtwo, I like Hero, I like Falco, I like Captain Falcon. Anyone you want, like any way you want it, any way you wanna piece it up, man's there. So yeah.
Bro, I'm not gonna lie, do you know what? I say recently, for the past couple of months, I've been slowly leveling my way up in Smash, and truthfully, this guy Donkey Kong, he's one of the most enjoyable characters to beat people up with, because yeah. there's a certain level of enjoyment you get from just grabbing someone and just smashing them over and over and over again into the ground while they can do nothing about it. I've had
the ground, like Donkey Kong, yo, he hits like a truck. Like, you see a truck that's going on the M-way at the national speed limit. That's Donkey Kong's fists. Each fist is a truck.
Facts, yeah, man.
Donkey Kong, man.
Facts. Donkey Kong and also Bowser as well. I just like, I don't know, they exude power to me, and I like that. Yeah, I like Bowser. That in a game like Smash.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we get too deep into it, obviously, you've seen every episode. Why wouldn't you? You know that we always start off with a joke. Today's no different. Let's just get into it. Let's get it out of the way. Yeah, let's get into it. I asked my girlfriend to meet me at the gym. When she did not show up, I knew we weren't going to work out. Badumpt.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yep. You got me.
That took you a moment, bro. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were frozen.
It was the network. It's like the minute that it takes to reach me, I had to get me. That's where it is.
I thought you were frozen or something. I was like, wait a minute. What's good?
Nah, you got me.
Talk me through the Denzino story. Talk to me about how... I want to talk about how we got to here, but also the origin story. Where did the name Denzino come from? I know your name's we can get into that, but yeah, where did the name Denzino come from? How did you get into music? Give me the rundown.
Yeah, so my name's Denzel, and my cousin in Atlanta, she, every time she used to see me, she used to be like, the homie Denzino. So I kind of just ran with it. I was like, hey, that's how Denzino came about. Then the Denzino baby tag, I was chilling with my homegirl Ashley at uni. And one day she just said, Denzino, baby. And I was like, yo, you might be onto something, like, let him cook. Like, she was really cooking. So got her to record that. And then it was magic. It was like one take, get me? And then as for music, I've always been musically inclined. Like, I've done music since primary school. In year seven, I got a guitar, learned up to like grade five on rock, started producing in like 2017, started rapping in 2017, and then the rest is history. Like my first song came out in 2017, and here we are, producer, engineer, rapper, singer, artist, DJ, like Denzino, let's get it.
Come on, man, that's sick, man, for real. Do you know what's crazy? I didn't know that they had those sort of like intonations and inflections in their tones in Atlanta like that, like where they add the enos to the things like Denzino and that kind of thing.
I feel like she was just freestyling it, but it went hard, so I was like, I'm taking it.
Facts, man. I thought that like Eno kind of thing was sort of or Ero or whatever kind of thing was sort of like a British thing. I don't know, but yeah.
Hey man, shout out my cousin KK.
Facts, man. Facts. Are you a big Atlanta hip hop fan yourself, or are you more of New York, LA? What kind of, or even, I mean, I guess UK above all, or whatever. What's your kind of thing?
Alright, so I mean, within the US, yeah. If you had to ask me, like East Coast, West Coast, largely, I would say East Coast. Yeah, because like I'm thinking Illmatic. I'm thinking Jay-Z, I'm thinking Hove. I'm even thinking of like how much Pro Era had an influence on me growing up. All and even like, I don't know, there's Memphis, that's like South side, but a lot of my stuff now Memphis side, but growing up, my favorite artist was Kendrick Lamar. So him, and he's on West Coast. So it's like, I don't even know, but largely I would say East Coast, but every sound from everywhere influences my music. If that's kind of like where you were going with it, because I just take influence from everything. I feel like everywhere in the world has so much to offer. Like the Brazilian, the doom cha cha, doom cha, the doom cha cha, the African rhythms, how they rap in New York, how we spit on grime beats, the environment that is grime, and like what we did in the UK. Like I take inspiration from it all, and then just merge it into this chaotically beautiful piece of art. Do you feel me? Then that's it.
Yeah, facts, man, honestly. And do you know what's interesting? I was thinking about this like just the other day. I sort of came to this, I guess, kind of epiphany. And I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you disagree, but the sort of East Coast versus West Coast thing, it sort of reminds me a little bit of the themes that you see in like Marvel and DC to an extent, simply because, you know, you get like West Coast being sort of like more bright and, you know, they're a bit more uppity and they're not as gloomy and rustic and, you know, hard hitting as the East Coast, if that makes sense, as sort of like DC. If you get what I'm saying.
But I never really thought about it like that. But do you know what? It makes sense. It actually makes sense. So you're saying DC is East Coast, Marvel's West Coast.
Yeah, facts, man. Yeah.
Interesting. No, that's interesting. I never saw it like that, but I can see where you're coming from though.
Yeah, man. And then you get like the South with like, I don't know, like Outkast and like just everyone from the who else is from the South, man?
I would say Outkast, they're from Atlanta, so that's East Coast, but Memphis.
They're East Coast.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, is that 3-6 Mafia and I'm like down South Side? That's that whole Memphis sound.
I guess
UCJ
so.
And UCJ and I'm like stuff like that.
Yeah, so yeah. they're kind of like a mix of like dark, but then also kind of like, I don't know, just a bit different at the same time as well.
I don't know, but they got some good rhythms there. They hitting some nice pockets out there.
Yeah, facts, man, facts. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about your time in Nigeria. I know that you spent some time in Nigeria for about a year and a half, and that's where you first picked up a guitar, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, right.
I want to talk a little bit about your time in boarding school there. Would you say that if you hadn't spent as much time, or if you hadn't spent any time in boarding school there, your artistry would be significantly different? How different would you say it would be, if at all?
Do you know what? I think it would be different, but I think because the main lesson that I learned when I went to Nigeria was like where I'm from. Like I felt connected to like my root. Like I was there on the same soil as my ancestors. So that I felt a deep sense of connection. I still went to Nigeria on holidays and stuff, so it's not like I wouldn't have had that connection. But I think the connection that was that I built from that time there has translated into everything I do. So I think it would be very different, but at the same time, I think I would be more different, and then that has an influence on my music, if that makes sense. Because I always just take inspiration from real life experiences. Without that real life experience of going to boarding school, I would not have been able to draw upon that energy, thus making my music sound different in a way. Make sense?
Yeah, I think I get what you mean. Yeah. So would you say that you would always have come to music at the end then, even if you had, you know, been in the UK your entire life?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Because even when I was a kid, I have this this memory. It's crazy. I was in primary school. I think I was in year five. I had like a MP3 player or my PSP where I used to play songs on. I used to download it to my PSP. And I was listening this song. Oh my gosh. I was listening to Demi Lovato, Remember December. Yeah. And I was dissecting all of the instruments. Like, it was like this rock song. Yeah. But that was like guitars. That was like a riff. That was a bass. That was a drum. Her vocals. I was thinking of how it all stacked. And then that's when I thought about it. And I was like, yo, maybe I'm thinking about this more than the average individual. And I think that's like progressing to me being a sound engineer and things of that nature, where I actually have to look at the different elements and think about how correctly to position them in order to give a wholesome mix, or, you know, so things like that. That happened before I went to boarding school. So music would have found its way to me. I can't run from it. I can't hide from it. Like, it's always going to find me. I'm always going to find it. Don't cry. Don't beg. It's all over. The music is always going to be there. So.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. I know that you were sort of like kept away from digital music in the form of like an MP3 player and a phone and all of that. Would you say that the idea or the influence of not having any digital music influenced the music you made in your band when you were there?
So I was in a band when I came back.
Okay.
For a short period of time. So
actually,
could you ask your
question? Let's start a bit earlier. Talk to me about the band, because to be fair, I probably did get my facts mixed up there, but talk to me about the band and how it all started, what the just the general inception of that.
Yeah, so we all really just went to school together. Like my Daniel, David, my other friend KK. I mean, they were kind of doing their thing, but I was new to the school. And then I seen that they didn't have a guitarist. And I was like, I started rubbing my hands together like Birdman. I was like, I feel like I can intersect what you guys are doing and build upon it whilst you guys are simultaneously building together. And I think from there, once we started jamming together, it was kind of just a done deal. Did a gig. It lasted for maybe like a year, I would say. But it ended as a result of people moving away and things like that. It wasn't like creative differences. And I think everyone's still like musically talented and inclined now. So that's great. But yeah, that was a great time. That was a great time. Playing music with people like is a great feeling. It was a great feeling.
Thanks, man. But I'm not going to lie, that's a little bit like we may need to spice things up for the biopic when it comes out eventually. But you know what? We'll
let's work on it. Let's see what we got.
There's people just chucking drumsticks at each other. Just like, But what kind of music was it? Was it like indie? Was it rock? Was it like sort of more rap, like I guess like Beastie Boys type thing? What kind of music
it was indie slash alternative. We used to do covers, like, you know, Use Somebody, Kings of Leon, like we'll cover songs like that angle. Like, it's nothing like what I make now, but that's still part of me, and I could go back to that tomorrow. So yeah.
Thanks, man. Absolutely. Do you know what? It's so important for, I mean, this is just my own personal opinion, so it might not be to other people, but it's so important for, you know, artists of all genres to not only appreciate but also draw inspiration from other genres that they don't make themselves. Like, I mean, I've spoken about Lil Yachty, so we'll talk about someone else. Like, even, I don't know if you listen to Utopia yet, but Travis on Utopia, this recent album, you can clearly see that. I mean, yeah, he got most of his inspiration from Yeezus, but there are also takes, like, he's taken elements from so many other genres at the same time. So it's, yeah, it's progressive. I love stuff that's progressive, you know.
Yeah, and yeah, I have listened to Utopia. I like that project. Like, I see, as a big Kanye fan as well, I love Utopia. But aside from that, I've always been rocking with Travis, and how he integrates his production to his music has always fascinated me. He's always had such an interesting take on production. Him and Mike Dean and them, they, you know, they be cooking up. But yeah, I really like, you know, that sound, what they're doing over there. And you can definitely hear that there's so much inspiration from everywhere in the world, you know?
Yeah, facts, man. Would you say that it was, would you say that it was worth 5 years though? A 5 year wait?
Do you know what? I feel like artists, they just drop music when they're ready. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because musicians, they're always going to create, whether they like it or not. They're drawn to the music. That's their method of expression. So it's just a matter of when he's ready and when they feel like it's time for new music, you know? So I don't know. Because my favorite artists, like people like Isaiah Rashad, MF Doom, they take forever to draw music. So I'm like Frank Ocean, he's another person. I'm kind of accustomed to just waiting a long time for music. But you know, like in today's society, everyone's like, we need music. It's like fast fashion. Like, music is like fast fashion. It's like, this isn't a season. Like, we're gonna listen to this, we're gonna pump it out. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like, people don't make music the same way. And it's just the difference, like, you know what I'm saying?
I feel that to an extent. There were a couple of points there that you raised that were interesting. Like, I feel like the way music is released nowadays is, I would say there's the biggest people right at the top in terms of quality do have more of an attention to detail than some of the people who are, like, you know, more, I guess, mainstream and more easily digestible, if you know what I mean. Like, people, I'm not gonna name names, but you know what I mean, like, people who are more who are easier to digest,
right?
I don't know how well that's coming across, but essentially the point that I'm making is, back in the day, you would see certain musicians like Bill Withers and all of these kinds of people, like soul and R&B and all of these type of people, releasing 3 albums a year sometimes. Like Prince even as well, releasing deluxes and all of this and all of that, and they'd have like 30 tracks each. And honestly, I only recently came to this realization that all of these artists were doing this back in the day. So I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about, like, I don't know what my opinion is on it myself, on them releasing that many albums in a year. I mean, do you have an opinion yourself? Or
I mean, I guess it can just depend on, like, where you draw your inspiration from. Like, if you're doing like hella drugs and you're churning out music and it's still great, like, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, you can probably get that gone. You can get that over the line pretty quickly. I think some people draw up on like real life experiences and things like that, you know. Like, for example, Kendrick, when he made To Pimp a Butterfly, traveled to, I think it was South Africa and stuff like that. And that's not a short amount of time, you know. You'd have to work on something like that, and then that might just take a long time. So it just goes back to my point of, you know, it just takes it, you know, it just depends on where you draw inspiration from and how you execute that.
Yeah, so we were talking about like Travis and all of that, but what would you say your biggest who's in your rotation nowadays, who are like the top artists that are in your daily rotation nowadays?
In my daily rotation, Paris, Texas. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you know about these guys. I think it's like 2 black guys, yeah. Just making insane songs, like mainly over like guitar samples, making crazy like rock alt rap. Like, that's my deepest bag. So yeah, they just dropped a album, project, whatever you want to call it, recently. So that's
Yeah.
been in my rotation. Icy Twat, he's been in my rotation since top end of last year. He's been killing it. Ice Spice has honestly been in my rotation. I'm a big Munch. Like, I'm a Munch. Like,
But
yo.
that's completely different, fam. They're called Munchkins, so you're
Yeah, I'm
essentially saying that you're a real eater. That's what you're saying, right?
sanctuary. It doesn't matter. She a baddie. She's showing her panty. She's saying like
Oh
jelly. But she's still shaking ass in the deli. Like, that's my song. Yeah, I have Yves Tumor on my
of
rotation.
course, man, of course. Ah.
I've been listening to a parody on rotate. And it just reminds me of like crying in the shower, like hand on the wall, like just letting the water hit your neck back and you're just letting it all go. Like, that's what it's reminding me of. And yeah, like I would say that's my main rotation right now. And I've just put in a bit of Sango. He's a producer. And then I would also say Flying Lotus is another producer.
Yeah, of course, man. Flying Lotus goes hard as well. Do you know what? I love Yves Tumor probably has one of my favorite albums of the year so far. And it
Is
only
it?
came out in like April or February or
Yeah,
whatever.
yeah,
It's one of the hardest things. I truthfully,
yeah.
that is just so sick. It gets me gassed every time I hear it, for real. Are you seeing him in November when he comes through?
I haven't got tickets, but I would actually love to go. I'm not gonna lie. I'm trying to get tickets, man. I'm trying to
Is
get
it sold
tickets.
out?
I think so. No, I need to look into it, but yeah, I'm trying to go.
So peak, man. Yeah, it's gonna be so sick. Man. I'm gonna see Kerosene and friggin' what's the other Romanticist? Of course, I should know that one. That's his
Yeah.
biggest song, fam. I'm gonna see those two songs live. Nah, it's gonna be a movie.
That's up. That's up.
Yeah, facts, man.
So
Yeah,
yeah.
we were talking about Travis as well and Utopia and stuff. And yeah, do you know what? I still struggle to believe that that was Carti's voice on Fiend, the whole deep voice thing. I struggle to believe
Yeah.
that that was him. Like that.
Carti, he's capable of doing like many voices, many sounds. He's, like when you look at like what he's done in the past, his versatility has always been something that's been integral to his artistry. Like, no two projects of his are the same. So, that goes to speak to his versatility, So it's like I'm not even surprised. And I believe Travis and Carti are locked in like that. So it doesn't really surprise me, to be honest.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You know what? That leads me pretty nicely onto my next topic about your creative process as well, actually. I know that you tend to have a pretty sporadic process in terms of creating and, developing and working on projects, on tracks, on all sorts. You've mentioned that it can take you months to make a track, or it can take you days to make a track, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So okay, my question was, I'll just read it off. What would you say the biggest benefit is that you gain from keeping things natural with no forced process?
The biggest benefit is that it's always gonna feel organic. It's never gonna feel rushed, like how I feel about the music. Like, if I maybe like rushed it or anything else, I might not have been happy with it because I knew that I was working to a deadline, as opposed to just expressing freely. Like, I really love the free element of expression. You can express where with expression you can be so free and take however long you want and do whatever you want. And to me, that's a part of creation. That's integral. So, and therein lies the benefit, the freedom, the expression. I feel like society is not as free as we feel like it is. And so when I create and I express, I feel completely free. I feel completely creative. I feel completely free to do whatever I want. I can build a whole world, and there's no rules, there's no regulations whatsoever.
So you mentioned the fact that there are no rules, none of that in your creative process. What would you say the biggest hindrances could be that you see when it comes to, I guess, what would you say stops you from, I guess, you know, the standard dropping an album every year or every 2 years or whatever that we used to see people doing? What would you say, if anything, stops you at all from that?
Oh, no, I just need to just stop having such a personal attachment and just dropping it. Because I have songs. Like, I've been making music forever. I will always make music.
Yeah.
It's just a question of, do I drop this year? Do I drop next year? Do I feel like it? Maybe. So that's on me. My bad, y'all. I hold my hands up.
Fans of Denzino, now you know. Is no, I'm playing.
I'm playing.
But yeah, okay, cool. I want to bring things back to your band a little bit as well, actually. So, and obviously, as a band, you make music as a group, and as opposed to yourself, you know, engineering, producing, and writing and vocalizing all of your music. And as a solo person, when you release as Denzino, what would you say the big differences are when it comes to trying to make music as a band compared to making music by yourself?
Well, I think when it's a band, it's you guys just have ideas and you throw it out there, and then someone takes to it in the band. They're like, oh, let's work on this, let's develop this. They have their own little melody or rhythm to add on to that, and then the next person adds on to that, and then oh, suddenly you have this thing, and then you just develop on that. When you're doing things yourself, it's all self-contained, it's all your idea, you know. You just pick an idea and then you just run with it. When you're creating with people, you could spew out an idea but think nothing of it and go to a next thing, or disregard it almost, but then someone else picks up on that and then it becomes a whole thing. So yeah, that's what I would say the main difference lies.
Do you know what? I think it's interesting, the idea of, you know, actually arranging time as a band to come together and having designated, all right, this is us creating time. Was that the kind of process that you used to have, or was it more, let's all meet up at so-and-so's house and we'll just jam out for a couple of hours and see what happens?
We just used to be at school. So we would get into school early and then we would leave school mad late. There was a big hall. We had a Steinway. I would bring my guitar in. There was amps. There were amps. We had a drummer. We had a singer. Yeah, everything was just natural. It was completely organic. We didn't have to put so much time and effort into it. Everything flowed really nicely.
That's sick, man, honestly. That's actually crazy when you say that. Nah, man. Honestly, I wish I could go back to like secondary school and do that kind of thing again, because that's, yeah.
Yeah. Secondary school really was what you made of it.
Facts, man. Yeah. What kind of person would you say that you were in secondary school then? If you could go back, would you have like changed anything, or was it?
I loved women too much.
Gallus, is it?
Yeah, that's the realness. I was just a young kid, you know, my head in the clouds. I used to play basketball pretty professionally. I played National League when under 16s. So I was like outside of London playing games, playing for a team, going to trainings. So that's the kind of person I was. I was very sporty, very competitive, very social. Yeah. And I was obsessed with Vine.
That's Vine?
I was obsessed with Vine.
Of course, man. The whole road work ahead thing like that. Would you say that it holds up, though?
What, Vine?
Yeah, like, because honestly, I was going back the other day and looking at some of these compilations, and I just, like, humor back in, like, 2015, 2016, I question it sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
Everything is questionable. If anything, it's low-key worse now. Like, you've seen, like, have you seen, like, the NPC live stream thing that's been going around? Like,
that's it. The woman who just be talking about, like, ice cream and stuff like that.
Like, ice cream, so good. Thank you. Gang, gang. Like, some NPC behavior. Like, if anything, it's weirder now, but it's like everything just happened. Like people were just being themselves ultimately, and I think that's all right. Like I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I feel that, man. Yeah, honestly. Do you know what? That actually, the whole people being themselves thing. Yeah, people are definitely a lot more comfortable being themselves in this day and age, I'd say. I think COVID sort of reminded everyone of each other's mortality, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah, so we all just sort of got into where we've got a limited time on this earth. Let's do what we can with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Man.
Sure, I agree. And if anything, TikTok is Vine on steroids, so it's like it's all good, you know.
Facts, man. And it's so much more palatable and digestible as well. I'm using that digestible word a lot, but it is for real, because literally you'll see kids who are like from 6 years old, even younger, all the way up until I've seen adults on trains, like 60-year-old women just scrolling TikTok, looking up like not even knitting videos or baking or whatever, but like people doing up BMX, people on the street doing up Riz and like what's your body count and all of that. Like they people watch whatever, fam. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's to a point where like people don't even Google things like that. Like they'll just ask TikTok. You know, you have a question, you just type in something on TikTok. And then you'll find what you're looking for in a video format, someone explaining it, people giving their opinions. It's pretty cool.
So insane, yeah. But would you say that there's like a risk with content in this day and age? Because like the amount of content that we have access to and how easy it is to get, people become a whole lot less patient.
I think with it, that just comes with the internet. Like that's just something that came when the internet was born. You know, I wouldn't say it's necessary like TikTok's doing. It's just like something that's happened now. We have like real short attention spans. You know, everything is like, there's like a shift. It's like a paradigm shift in people's attention spans, marketing. Everything is just to like catch your eye quickly and like get your attention for as little as possible and make a change and affect your subconscious. Everything is happening in real time. So it's just understanding that and navigating through a system like that, or through this today's sort of agenda, today's environment, if you catch my drift.
I feel that, man. I want to talk a little bit about, this is a different topic, but this goes back to the whole being yourself thing that I sort of alluded to a bit earlier. On your track, Red Pirates, from your first project, Project Chairman, you mentioned the line, "My dread's grown long, you can't even see my face." Was giving us the visuals.
Get me. Nice song, by the way. That's my favorite song on that project.
Facts, man. Yeah, I know. Was it, there was someone who was on that song with you, wasn't there?
Yeah, Shifa, the singer. She's a great singer. I wish she made more music. I hope she comes out with something soon.
Yeah, man. I want to talk a little bit about the whole Lox thing. So obviously with the length that you've got right now, clearly you've been on this whole journey since before 2020, when there seemed to be this great influx of people growing out their hair.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a bit about that.
Yeah,
I was growing my hair. I didn't know what I was doing. It was around 2015, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar. I was listening to them hella. They were growing their hair. I was like, I'm going to just do what they're doing. And then my mom was like, if you don't do something with your hair, I'm going to cut it when you're sleeping.
It's always that one, fam. It's always that.
Yeah. And then so I was thinking about like, what am I going to do? Then one day I got home from school and she called a hairdresser in. They styled my hair in locks. And here I am. Like, I didn't even ask to be here. I'm just here. So this was back in like 2016 or something. It's been like, I don't know, you do the math, like 6-7 years. That's something like
crazy.
I don't know, 7 years, something like that. Maybe 8.
7 years. And it's what, like down to like pec level basically at this point?
It's under my boob, man. It's under my boob, man. Like, this is getting real long. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be waist level in like a year or two, which is crazy because I remember when my locks never used to drop. Like they would just like
stick up, yeah.
Man, so it's crazy, but Man, it's great, man. I'm grateful.
Yeah, man. Facts. Do you know what? Honestly, that's crazy to me. The fact that it's actually, that's so unbelievably insane to me that your mom, your Nigerian mother, was calm with you having locks back in like 20, back, even pre-2020, back in 2016,
yeah,
when, you know, we were all in our teens. And how old were you back then? You like,
I was, so I'm born in 1999, so okay, I was, so... and like, I guess me and my mom are locked in, like, that's my twiz. Like, my mom and I are super locked in. She knew I was a good kid. I was doing fairly well in school. I was doing other things as well. I used to practice martial arts. I did taekwondo, ended up getting my black belt. So I had my head pretty screwed on. So me getting locks, I did catch some, like, some heat, but you just gotta like roll with the punches. Feel me? Everything will sort itself out. Keep pushing, keep being you, keep proving that you can break all barriers that this might potentially cause, and you'll be good. That's my advice to anyone out there who doesn't know how to communicate to their parents about their hair.
Actually, do you have an opinion on dreadlocks versus locks, or is that just
I call them locks. I've always called them locks. But one of my boys, he's literally called dreads. Like, shout out dreads. So
yeah,
I guess it just depends on the person. I call him dreads. So yeah, I guess it's just down to the individual and how they conceptualize meaning about, you know, the word for this hairstyle and things like that. But yeah, I mean, you know my story. I kind of got into this business by accident, so I'm honestly not too fussed.
Exactly, man. Yeah, you just woke up one day and just, hey, whatever, right? This is my life now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What's your opinion on the style becoming popular in this day and age, like post 2020? Do you have an opinion on the whole trendiness of dreadlocks?
I like it. Men having long hair now, as opposed to back in the day, people used to cut their hair when they used to go corporate because it wasn't seen as a corporate look. But, you know, we're pushing those boundaries and we can go into work with these kind of hairstyles. And even that is a reason to be grateful, and it's a blessing. It's a right that we've clawed back. We've got it, you know, now. So it's just, yeah, it's good. I think if you want to have your hair long or short, it shouldn't even matter. But back in the day, people felt the need to cut their hair to fit into something when the thing they were trying to fit into should have accommodated them. So yeah, we're in a space now where it's accommodating in that way, and so I think it's good. Let men grow their hair if they want to. Like, it shouldn't even be a thing.
Exactly, man. Yeah, I mean, like, the way I think about it is I'm providing a service to, you know, these big corporate structures. The least that they could do in return is, you know, obviously there's monetary compensation as well, but at the same time, I'm spending a third of my day there. That's, you know, the least they could do is make me feel comfortable. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
Not only physically, but also spiritually as well, through, again, the hair. So, yeah. Your recent track, We Can Go, sort of, yes, looks pretty similar in theory to the Project Chairman cover.
Yeah, it does.
Talk to me about that a bit. And then my next question will be, what would you say the difference between, actually, do you know what, I'll mention the question later, but yeah, talk to me about the difference between those two and if it was deliberate or if it was just a coincidence.
So to put it shortly, it was a coincidence, but at the crux of it, video game, I take a lot of inspiration from that, as I'm a big gamer. If you notice, like, Project Chairman is red backdrop, and then I have the Skyrim helmet and then a Buster Sword from Final Fantasy VII. So those are all the different, like, sort of video game elements. And then I thought that the project is quite emotional, so I used red because red is quite an emotional colorway, I would say. And then that kind of contrasts with We Can Go. I use red because it's like the song is quite violent, there's a lot of rage, it's like turn, and there's like, so you can see there's like skulls on the bottom, and then it's like, I've bested all of those enemies with my longsword. The outfit is inspired by Guts from the anime Berserk.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Got my long hair. It just looks fire. Like, it's red. Like, the red signifies the blood of my enemies. Yeah, vanquish them. And that's the sort of aesthetic of the song. So I feel like that goes hand in hand, you know, with the artwork. And then the similarity between the artwork for We Can Go and Project Chairman is merely how much I take inspiration from what I watch and what I consume, you know, as a consumer, essentially.
Absolutely, man. And yeah, would you say that I obviously, God forbid anyone relates to Guts from Berserk, but would you say that, you know... You, I guess, relate to him in sort of the conquering and defeating of your enemies kind of thing, because those skulls on the We Can Go cover look pretty serious. So, you know.
Yeah, man. The one thing with me is I'm double or nothing. Like in a war scenario, and I had to shoot and kill someone, I have to shoot them like 3 times to make sure they're dead. You feel me? So that's crazy, the type of person, man. I am. So, like, see, all those enemies have been skinned alive. They are mainly corpses and skeletons. Because that's the kind of person I am. I double down. I have to be absolutely certain. So, yeah.
Hey, man. Do you know what? Maybe this question wasn't the best idea, but hey.
I break down any obstacle in front of me, but I don't do it nicely. I absolutely vaporize everything in front of me that proves as an obstacle.
Fans, man. Fans, you heard it here first. Don't step to Denzino. Yeah. My question was, what would you say the difference is between yourself during the conception and development of Project Chairman and then now as an artist dropping tracks like We Can Go? Because obviously Project Chairman came out in 2020, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah.
I think the main difference is back then I was in university, like making beats, like having fun, loads of time to just mess around and experiment. That's why there's so many different sounds on that project as well. I still have a lot of stuff like that, that I just don't drop. It's all about like my ideas and vision, which will come to fruition in time. But I think even like stuff like We Can Go, it's that kind of side. There's a part of me even in Project Chairman. With more power, like that's a very screamy song, very kind of like upbeat song. So I would say, I guess I know kind of more like what I'm after now in terms of sound, but I still like to experiment. And there's part of me that is this as part of me now is the same as kind of then when I was making music.
Yeah. My next question going into the closes was, what would you say we can expect next from Denzino? So we're more singles. Okay. So
more singles, more music, more everything, more life, more power, more experience, more wisdom, more execution, more fruition, more abundance. Yes.
Facts, man. That's, you know what? My next question to develop on that was short term or long term. But I feel like both. I know what the... Yeah, exactly.
Everything and nothing. Everything. Yes. Short and long term. Far and short. Yeah. Everything.
Facts, go for man.
Double or nothing.
So in the next year, I suppose, from that answer, I guess we can expect more singles then. So from now up until... in a year's time, it will be July 2024. But yeah, a year's time... More singles.
More singles. Features. I've got stuff cooking. I'm waiting for a feature right now. Let's see what happens. You might hear it.
Is that a secret or is it like...
Of course it's a secret. Why would I tell you guys who the feature is? That means silly.
Thanks, man. Oh, can we expect... thematically, can we expect like any differences or anything like that? Because I know that you're a versatile guy, so... What's
lots of things from different angles and different perspectives. I might make a song from the perspective of a jewelry box. Who knows? Produce like I'm a flower. In the angle of UV rays, like in a UV filter. So it could be anything, all types, all genres, all seasons, all weathers.
All right, man. Fez.
Any projects? Anything like that?
Maybe. I'm really into Star Wars right now. So how they're doing episodes, I feel like I'm taking notice. I'm taking notes on how they're operating. And I feel like there's something I can learn from Star Wars and integrate into my music. So let's see in terms of projects and how I execute it and how I package it and deliver it to the people. Let's just see.
All right, man, fairs. I'll get into my last question before I let you go on your way then, Zeno. And I ask this question to everyone to close off. You are heard by everyone on earth for 10 seconds. What do you say?
I'm heard by everyone on earth for 10 seconds.
Yes.
Invest in Denzino stocks. Yeah, that is my word to everyone. It's like a projection, like a hologram, like Denzino to the world. Like it comes out on the sky. Everyone's just like, what the hell? It's like a big hologram of someone's face. He's got hella long hair. And I'm like, attention to the people. And then everyone's like, oh. And then it's like, invest in Dino stocks, the Zeno stocks. And then I just fade out.
Then you have like the Denzino baby, just like in the background as you
fade.
It
just echoes out, Denzino baby. Get me, like, yeah, that's my contribution and my message to the people.
That would be so gas. I'm already gassed just based off the Denzino baby. It's one of the most, it just goes hard.
I'll be real, like that tag goes way too crazy. Way too crazy. Shout out Ashley for real.
I think that is a good place to close off this episode. So great. Yeah, I think we'll close off here. Denzino, thank you for joining this episode of the S+6 podcast. Listeners, thank you all for listening to this episode of the S+6 podcast. Watchers, thank you all for watching. Make sure you all go like, comment, tickle all the buttons below. Denzino, please tell the people to subscribe because they don't listen to me. So
subscribe to Ish, man. Stop playing around. This is not a joke. It's not a joke. Go ahead and click the subscribe button right now.
Facts. Let them know. Guys, click the subscribe button, tickle the bell if you're feeling generous, and yeah. Denzino, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we close off?
Instagram is Denzino, DENZXNO. It's just Denzino, but the I is an X. I'm on Spotify, Denzino. I'm on YouTube, Denzino. I'm in the mirror, in the dark, if you say Denzino 3 times. And I'm out in the sky, apparently, as a hologram. So find me. I have spoken.
Facts. Honestly, guys, Denzino on all platforms, DENZINO. Make sure you go check out his most recent track, We Can Go, available everywhere. And I will see you later, alligators.